Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our host, our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Dahmer's on the board, high atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square. It is Wednesday, February 7th, 2024.
Hump day!
Welcome into hour number two of the big show, six past the hour of 1 o'clock. How you doing, Mr. Dahmer's?
Doing pretty well, you know. That was a fun first hour.
It was. Pat Kreitlow, Trivi Olsen. You can't go wrong with that. Great callers and great texters as well. As a reminder, you can always text us on the Civic Media app and give us a call. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Of course, as a reminder, our show, at least for the next 3 weeks or so, is expanding to 3 hours. So you can tune into the third hour of the Albaugh Show coming up after, at 2 o'clock. So looking forward to that. Coming up later this hour, we have a great guest, Tara Arellano. She is co-hosts the podcast Extra Hot Great, in which they review TV shows and whatnot. She also is a writer on Cracked.com, and Tara is going to be in the bottom of the hour with the 100 funniest sitcom punchlines ever.
And I did see, I took a look at this article. I didn't read the whole thing because, you know, we got to preserve some of the surprise.
All right.
And I did see the subtitle is, and provided free of charge, the 100 greatest sitcom setups of all time.
Oh.
So I was not sure whether or not it would be funnier to actually have the setups to the joke or just be collections of 100 punchlines with no context at all.
A great, great, great question. I was up a little bit late last night. Couldn't sleep. A lot of things in my mind. And so I was flipping through it, and the 100th episode of Seinfeld was on a rerun last night on some channel. And the 100th episode was basically a compilation of some of the best hits of Seinfeld. And my goodness gracious. I mean, for my money, that show is still Seinfeld, one of the best sitcoms of all time. And I would think would have some of the funniest punchlines of all time. You know, one of them last night was shrinkage. It shrinks! You know, just a great show. Anyway, so Arellano will be in at the bottom of the hour with the 100 funniest sitcom punchlines of all time. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Your calls are always welcome. Let's go to the phone lines now. Wisco Paul listening in, and Wisco has a comment on last hour. Wisco, always a pleasure. What say you?
Thanks for taking my call, Todd. Yeah, I really appreciate you having the Lincoln Project guy on. It's really helpful listening to him. He has a lot of knowledge also. And also, the other thing is the Marquette poll, which I took a lot of stock in. They very, very seldom is Charles Franklin wrong on his poll. Mm-hmm. He's pretty much spot on, and it's good news that Biden's up in the state. And I think that long, or, you know, let's see. How do I want to say this? I think the Lincoln Project will help Biden over the finish line, which would be a good thing for the country. And just thanks for having that guy on. I hope you keep having him on, because I love listening to him. So thanks, Todd.
Hey, thank you, Wisco. Really appreciate the kind words. I'll pass that on to Trigvi. Yeah, look, I've known Trigvi for many years. We kind of, as they say, came up through politics together in the late 80s and into the 90s. And Trigvi's worked for some really, I mean, people like Jim Harsdorff, a guy from the western part of the state near Hudson, was a dairy farmer and a state senator, and then also worked for former governors Thompson and McCallum, and then went on to work for people like Mitch McConnell and John McCain. And I think if Trigvi were still with us, he would say he probably learned some of his best lessons from both Tommy Thompson and John McCain. Look, they were Republicans, but they were pragmatic, and they understood that you had to work together with, you know, the other side, Democrats or independents, to get stuff done for the people. And like me, Trigvy came to a point where the Republican Party no longer represented who he was and what he believed, and has since left and now part of the Lincoln Project. If you're not familiar, go to their website, LincolnProject.org, and check it out.
You can also follow them on Twitter or X or Twix, whatever you want to call it. Right. And I really should have double-checked what their tag – it is at Project Lincoln. That's right. What it is.
It's kind of reversed.
That's what I thought, but right. I wanted to make sure.
It's at Project Lincoln on Twix and Twitter. I'll just say Twitter and other channels. But it's called the Lincoln Project, of course, after Abraham Lincoln. And look, I get it. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know – and look, Stuart Stevens is a guy who says he literally wrote a book called It Was All a Lie, How the Republican Party Became Donald Trump. And Stuart Stevens has said, look, I'm responsible for a lot of this stuff. But it got way beyond what some of these people had intended. And now they're doing what they can to defeat Trump and Trumpism. That's really the main focus of the Lincoln Project, is to preserve democracy. And Trigvy talks about this, that the folks on the other side who are anti-democracy are zero-sum people. In other words, the only thing that means anything to them is winning at all costs.
And it's that there is no compromise with right. them, because either they win, they get everything they want, or they take the whole world down with them, kicking and screaming.
Exactly. So even if you say, well, look, I don't agree with some of the other things or policies or whatever in the past, that's fine. But I hope we can all agree that we have to work together. And then what do they say? You know, opposites attract, or whatever, make strange bedfellows. So, I mean, it might seem weird to say, well, I'm going to work with a former Republican on something. But when that something is preserving democracy, and Stuart Stevens said this, right, Mr. Zomers, when Trigvy guest hosted a week ago or so, Stuart Stevens said, look, it pains me to say this as a former Republican, but there's only one major political party left in the United States that still believes and stands up for democracy, and that's the Democratic Party. So that's coming from a guy who ran campaigns for George W. Bush and Mitt Romney. So I appreciate the call, Wisco, and he's also just a great guy to have a beer with. And yeah, I mean, we're not announcing it officially because we're still working out some of the details, but stay tuned. Later this spring, Trigvy and I are going to be going around the state, not just for the show. We'll do the show around the state as well, but then we're going to do some fun things in the evening where we say, you know, just come out and have a beer with us. Let's have a dialogue of Wisconsinites. Doesn't matter who you voted for. As Wisconsinites, let's have a Miller Lite or a Line and Kugels or a Spotted Cow and just talk. So our little spring fling. So looking forward to that. 844-967-2789. Sharky in Racine. Sharky, always a pleasure. What say you?
Holy mackerel. I mean, I'm going to have to put up with you for 3 hours. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be a Trump.
Well, only for a month or so.
you know, I have to say thank you very much, because I needed a pick-me-up. And you brought up the shrinkage deal with the Seinfeld.
Right?
And I'm going to tell you what. If you were in where I was, okay, we did a movie with Mrs. Shrinkage, where she was complaining about her boyfriend, George.
Uh-huh.
And this is what Danny Bonaducci, he was the main guy of the film. It was called America's Deadliest Home Video.
Uh-huh.
It was a small local film, but Melora Walters was the gal observing the small shrinkage, and if you look her up, I should have married her.
Right, right.
It was a great show because, you know, Kramer's stealing lobsters out of the bay, right. And the shrinkage is happening, and George's girlfriend, Melora Walters, is walking around without a top on. I'm going, I'm in heaven.
Sharky, you're a true fan. You're a true Seinfeld fan. I love this. I love this that you actually know this stuff.
Well, and it's fun is because the movie was cool. Danny right. Bonaducci was a little bit of scared of my background, thinking I was going to put him in jail after he was drinking a screwdriver for molesting some type of guy out on the right. street somewhere. But the shrinkage is like I mean, it's just amazing. Wasn't that when they were going to the ugly cousin's house in the Hamptons?
Yes. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, look at that. Now I want you to report back to me in the next couple of days what you've seen on Melora Walters. We don't want to see Bonaducci.
Right.
I just want
exactly.
to see Melora Walters.
All right. appreciate the call, Sharky, as always, listening down there in Racine on our great station, WRJN. Sharky, thanks so much. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. And a reminder, coming up at the bottom of the hour here, Tara Ariano is going to be in from the podcast Extra Hot Great and Crack.com with the funniest sitcom punchlines ever. And I have to believe that the whole shrinkage episode with Seinfeld will be among them. Off the text line, WLCX, the Eagle up there in beautiful La Crosse. Dana listening in. We appreciate that, Dana. Dana says, I believe the posts that come out of the former Twitter are now called excretions. That's pretty good.
I think that's a lot. It's a lot better than the proposed verbiage from Elon Musk himself, who says, I think he just said it's an X. So instead of saying I tweet this or I retweet it, it's I exit.
I exit.
But it sounds like you're saying exit. Right.
All my exes live in Texas.
Yeah, it's it's a farce.
It is a farce. Look, should I start a story or should I wait till we come back on the second on the other side?
Well, we have a little over a minute, so.
All right. Well, I'll start the story and then we're going to come back and talk. I want your opinion on this. What do you think about how easy is it? I want some advice here in your municipality to pay a parking ticket. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Now, look. I did the show yesterday from Green Bay, beautiful WGBW, the talk of Green Bay, and it's a lovely city. I spent a lot of time there. Dad and stepmom live about 30 miles west. And the time before I did it, at least like 2 months ago, I was doing the show up there and went to lunch and forgot the car was parked. And I came back and I had a ticket, a parking ticket. Now, I forgot about this ticket. And then yesterday I was doing the show and they came back and they gave me another parking ticket. I will tell you the tale of Todd's parking tickets after this. We talk about on X, I suppose, too, where my exes live on the Todd Ball Show on Civic Media.
Depends on how long you were following me.
Why don't we just take it from the top?
Here goes. I sped. I followed too closely. I ran a stop sign. I almost hit a Chevy. I sped some more. I failed to yield at a crosswalk. I changed lanes in the intersection. I changed lanes without signaling while running a red light and speeding!
Is that all?
No.
I have unpaid parking tickets.
Unpaid parking tickets. That, of course, the great Jim Carrey from Liar Liar. Good job, Mr. Zomers, dialing that up. Anybody knows me knows that Todd does occasionally have a problem forgetting to pay a parking ticket. I forget. Not intentional, mind you. And so I was in Green Bay doing the show yesterday, and I remembered I had this ticket from like 2 months ago. I forgot to pay $22. $22 for a simple parking ticket. I got another one yesterday. So I made my way to City Hall downtown Green Bay, not very far, actually, from our studios there in Green Bay. And, you know, a very nice person. I went up. I paid my one that I had. You know, I'd just gotten $22. I said, I also, you could probably look it up. You know, I have another one. And she looked it up. You know something's going to not be good when she looks at you and goes, oh.
Oh, no.
Oh. I said, what? Oh. Oh, well, that's been turned over to the State Revenue Debt Collection Agency. They turned over a $22 parking ticket to the State Debt Collection Agency.
So wait, how old was this ticket?
Like 2 months.
Yeah, that seems excessive.
Excessive. And so I said, okay. I said, well, how do I pay this? And she goes, well, you have to call. Here's a number. And then they'll send us an email that you've paid it, and then we'll mark it down and release, you know, this debt. I said, okay, can I just call? There's a number on there. So I go out to my truck and I call. And I get the good folks here in Madison. And they're like, yes, you have to come to our office and pay in cash or a cashier's check. You cannot pay with a credit card.
Seriously?
I'm like, wait a minute, I'm in Green Bay. I said, just asking. I said, I know this isn't your fault. I appreciate your help. I said, I live in Madison. And the revenue department is like four blocks from my house. So I said, it's fine. But I said, if I lived in Green Bay, I'd have to drive to Madison. Oh, no, we actually have an office in Madison or in Green Bay. I said, well, okay. Turns out it's like a block from me. And so I said, okay, great. So I had to walk and find an ATM machine because, oh, and not only is there a late charge, there's a Department of Revenue puts on basically a finder fee charge.
Yep.
It's going to be $105 cash.
Oh, my God.
So I pull out $100, $120. I walk to Department of Revenue. This is straight out of a sitcom. I am not exaggerating for dramatic effect. This is real. I walk in. There's like an iPad right at the front door. And this lobby is maybe 8x8. There's no one else in there. The guy gets up. The revenue guy gets up. He's behind like bulletproof glass. I go over. I said, hi, how are you doing? He said, did you register? I looked around. I said, I'm the only one here. Did you register? I said, no. He goes, you need to register. So I turn around on the iPad and type in my name. There's a ding. He goes, hi, can I help you? I'm not making this up.
This sounds like it's a bit.
I said, look, at least you're giving me something to talk about for a half an hour on my show tomorrow. So I have the cash. I give him the cash. I said, can you send this email to the Green Bay a block away? He goes, oh, no, we have to actually send it to a third party. And then they let Green Bay know. I said, can you just print something out so I can walk a block to show the Green Bay City people that I paid this? No, it has to go through the email. I said, okay, fine. Now look, Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket.
I've had similar things happen, and the worst part is it's not even my car.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
So
844-967-2789. Here, this is a great call. This is fantastic. This is why I love our listeners. This is Stephen in Green Bay. Stephen, you've heard my account. Is this commonplace in Lambeau City?
Well, I have to say, I am literally in my car right now, and there are tears rolling down my eyes from how hard I've been laughing. Because I live in the city, and I have never in my life encountered something like this.
Really?
This sounds like a horrible amount of hoops to have to jump through for a $22 parking ticket.
It cost me $105!
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I will tell you something. I'm going to see Mayor Genrich, though, here in a couple weeks. I'll ask him why he needs to put in a city ordinance about his parking
ticket.
It's a little too much.
This is serious. And maybe I should, the mayor follows me. We follow each other on Twitter, Mayor Gingrich. I think he's a fine guy. But my understanding is the former mayor, Jim Schmidt, who is the co-host of Mino and the Mayor in Green Bay, he had a different approach under his administration and council. So I think, wouldn't it be great to bring people together and bring Jim Schmidt, former mayor of Green Bay, now co-host of Mino and the Mayor, and the current mayor, Gingrich, on, and we could solve this right here on the Todd Allball Show. Let's just take a breath.
I think that's a good plan.
Let's take a breath. Look, I have no problem paying $22. I think it's a little high. But my God, to turn this over to the State Department of Revenue Collection? Doesn't the state taxpayer have anything better to do than come after Todd for a $22 parking ticket? But Stephen, go ahead. So you're telling me that my experience is uncommon. You don't think that most people in Green Bay experience this?
So, like I said, I live in the city. Now, the part of the city I live in, there's not a bunch of meters, but I know downtown whenever, believe it or not, I actually just went downtown and I had to get a updated dog tag for my dog. And I had to pay to park for 2 minutes. I had to pay a half an hour to park for 2 minutes. at the city hall to get my dog tag. Okay, so yeah, it's a little ridiculous down there. I try to stay away from downtown Green Bay as much as I can, unless I have to. And then me going down there is like dragging my dog to the vet. I avoid it at all costs.
Here.
But again, yeah, I think we need to bring those two mayors together.
Right.
And we need to figure out what to do about this, because, you know, there is another part of this where what if you're like barely scraping to make it by?
Yes.
And now all of a sudden you got debt collectors calling you for a $22 parking ticket. It's just a little ridiculous.
Because you're shopping in downtown Green Bay. There's a story out today we'll probably get to later on. The Green Bay Packers have announced that they're looking for a new CEO because the Packer bylaws say you cannot be the CEO of the Packers past the age of 70. Mark Murphy turned 70 next year. So how about this? Here's an idea, Stephen. What do you think? We got about a minute left. We find out from the mayor and the city council, how much revenue does Green Bay get on average from parking tickets? And we say that the new CEO of the Packers are going to donate that to the city annually, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that?
You know, Todd, it sounds like that maybe you should find residence in the city of Green Bay and run for mayor, because you sound like a great candidate.
Thank you so very much. I may run. Todd for mayor of Green Bay. Take the Lambeau leap. Vote for an independent. That's a great idea, Stephen. I'm going to consider that. I may run for mayor of Green Bay. You've heard it here first. Back on the other side, Tara Ariano. Help if I can read. Back after this on the other side with some of the great punchlines of sitcoms ever. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media. Did you ever notice that sometimes... Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't do an impersonation or an impression of Jerry Seinfeld, but that's about as good as you're going to get. Welcome back to the show. It's 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Wednesday, February 7th. Mr. Sommers, well done on the Seinfeld theme music there. Had a couple of callers earlier and got talking about... was watching last night the 100th episode of Seinfeld, which is a big compilation of the previous 99 episodes. And one of them that came up was the whole shrinkage thing where George gets cold and then gets seen naked and there's shrinkage. And it makes me laugh every time I see it. We are talking right now. Our guest this half hour is the wonderful and talented Tara Ariano. She is the co-host of the podcast Extra Hot Great that reviews a lot of TV. That's where you can find all your television intel. She also writes for a great publication called Cracked.com. And she is here to talk about an article that she wrote. I love this. It's the 100 funniest sitcom punchlines of all time. Tara Ariano, welcome back. How the heck are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am fantastic. It is wonderful to talk and to see you again.
You too.
It's great to have you here. So tell us, we've talked to a couple of your colleagues at Cracked. And I love these kind of compilations you put together of different things in television. Tell us how a television expert like you, how do you first kind of sit and decide the 100 funniest sitcom punchlines of all time? What's the process?
I mean, I want to say, first of all, everyone should know when they read a list like this. a lot of decisions get made. This isn't anything like this should never be considered the final document of whatever the subject is. These are hard to do. And sometimes you go researching a show that you love and it's hard to just, you know, drill down to the one punchline that you think is right. So you might just skip that show. I mean, I wanted to do 100 different shows. I had a working list of 100 and I think 43 different possibilities. Mm-hmm. And then I just had them all alphabetical and I just went to researching, looked on IMDb, what they had as, you know, other listener or readers had cited as the best lines or the best quotes from each of those shows. And it just was a lot of reading, a lot of research, and a lot of sometimes just some gut choices. And as soon as this went up, I think I immediately regretted this one and only Simpsons joke I picked. I mean, a lot of these shows, You could do the 100 best punchlines of just one of these shows, and I'm sure in the future my editor will sign me to do that too. But yeah, this is supposed to be a survey, and really you should just consider it 100 great jokes from 100 great shows.
What was the regret over the Simpsons quote?
Oh, just the very next day. So in the episode of The Simpsons where they open a casino in Springfield, Bart also opens a casino in his treehouse, and he goes to the airport and like steals Robert Goulet before he can get to the, you know, adult casino. And so Robert Goulet is, he's dubious about where they're bringing him. I'm just going to just pull it up so I can, anyway, the punchline is, you know, he's dubious about it. Nelson says, your manager says to, you know, you're a jerk or something like that. Mm. And Robert Goulet's answer is, Vera said that? And for some reason, it's just like such a small joke from truly a one-off guest that was never on again.
Really? Yeah.
And that was the one that I wished I had put in as the one and only joke. But, you know. Hey. You could do 500 right. Simpsons punchlines and still not get to all of them.
Now, you bring up an interesting, at least for me, an interesting point of how these things get compiled. Because I know a guy, and I'm not going to say who it is, but I know a guy from Wisconsin who wrote for Wired and lived out in New York for a while and was a national writer like yourself. And he was, one time he was like, somehow we got talking about, you know, these best of lists, like, you know, the best place to have a cup of coffee in Washington, D.C., or the best place to have a steak in Cincinnati or whatever. And he said, Todd, you realize that we all just basically cheat off each other. Like, you look at somebody else's list and you just kind of rearrange it and you find one original thing and we just all rearrange the same crap. And I said, I didn't know that. So, I mean, you know, I mean, it sounds like your process was a bit more thoughtful here. You actually did some research on this. But do you ever look at, like, what other people have named the funniest punchlines? Or is this just all original stuff that's in your head?
Well, some of them were ones that were definitely my own, you know, memories of my favorite jokes from shows that I watched and loved. But some of these shows, I mean, you know, you're talking about 200 episodes that you couldn't possibly rewatch them right. all for the purposes of something like this. So, yeah, I mean, you know, if this was going to be my life's work, yes, I would have rewatched every show that I remembered. But, you know, you have a deadline and you I won't say cheating, but you definitely right. have to do some research and, you know, and drill down from like someone else's list of 700 to pick, you know, the one that is your personal selection. So, yeah, definitely that's how that sausage gets made, for sure.
Well, I think it's fantastic. But wouldn't that be wonderful if that was somebody's life work, just getting paid like six figures to sit and watch TV all day?
Yeah.
I mean,
the dream. Right? I mean, that is not the six figures part. Getting paid to watch TV is what I mostly do, for sure. I mean, you know, you got to watch it if you're going to review it. But for something like this where you're just, you know, you're making a collection, you know,
Not so much. You
pick and choose from existing sources, for sure.
All right, so here we go now. The 100 best punchlines in sitcom history. We'll start where you want to start. Where the list? Where you want to start?
Oh boy!
Any particular place?
No, I mean they're all just in alpha order. So
right, so I was gonna go from you know 100, and we'll go up. We'll end with number one. So I went down to 99 because
they're not ranked. They're just in alphabetical order.
Just alphabetical order. I went down to 99. Will and Grace. I'm a big Will and Grace fan. This is Karen. I don't do a Karen voice, but I'm still here waiting on that drink. And Ben says something tells me you haven't been waiting.
Yeah.
If you know that show, Karen usually didn't wait too much.
No, not for drinks.
Right, not for, maybe for Vicodin, which was, you know.
Sure.
I love the fact that the woman drank and had a pill addiction and functioned very well.
Yeah, overall, I would say, you know, having a lot of money helps. You don't need to function that well when you're rich.
98, one of my other all-time favorite shows, and you have to be of a certain age, like myself, WKRP in Cincinnati. Yeah. Mrs. Carlson, who was the owner of the radio station, why, Hirsch, this coffee is delicious. Hirsch, that's because we were having a guest, madame. When it's just you and me, I prepare it a little differently.
Yeah, you can, you know, use your imagination to fill in what is the extra ingredient that Hirsch is adding when it's just a Mrs. Carlson. You know, something that makes it a little bitter, perhaps.
I wish we could read number 96 from Veep, but there's a word from the FCC that'll get us, you know, censored. But I'll let you choose. Yeah. I'll let you choose a couple of your own.
Sure. I mean, Superstore, I think, is a forgotten show unfairly that we're. Mm-hmm. I'm just scrolling up from the bottom sure. now. Sandra, you know, asking about someone who's undocumented is in a little bit of trouble. You think she'd be cool paying you cash under the table? Of course, that's how all rich people pay their immigrants. You think Diane Wiest has paid a payroll tax her entire life? Just the idea of Diane Wiest being your go-to
right.
tax dodging celebrity. You know, I'm not casting aspersions on Diane Wiest. I'm sure she does everything above board. It's just a very funny person of all of the celebrities you could possibly think of.
Absolutely.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, why don't you pick one?
All right, sure. You know, here and again, there's so many, you know, great shows all here. Some Sex and the City, you know, a very popular show for a while. Sex and the City, number 89. Maria says, "You call this a relationship, Samantha? Well, it's tedious and the sex is dwindling. So, from what I've heard, yeah."
A moment when Samantha tried dating a lady played right. by Sonia Braga, I believe. So, yeah.
But I mean, isn't that, and I've said this before 100 times on this show. I'll say it again. I love anything with good writing. I don't care whether yeah. it's TV or movies or books or songs. And that to me is just great writing because to me, I'm not sure about you, Tara, but it, the truth is always the funniest, right? And how many of yeah. us are like, you know, when you're just dating or it's a hookup or whatever, it's fantastic, but then you get into a relationship and, you know, I'm just tired of it. There's really no more sex. So I guess we're in a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I don't think that Sex and the City was necessarily like a very jokey show, like as much as some more sort of straight down the middle sitcoms. But, you know, you got to reward a good set up punchline like that. That's what I was trying to do with collecting this list.
We're talking with Tara Ariano. She is the co-host of the podcast Extra Hot Great, also from cracked.com, about the funniest 100 or the 100 funniest sitcom punchlines of all time. Here you go, Tara. Number 88 from Seinfeld. I literally saw this last night on this 100th episode of the compilation. This is from one of my, if I had to choose one that just makes me laugh every time I see it, The Contest.
I mean,
it's fantastic. And it all starts with George, all four of them, George, Elaine, Jerry, and Kramer at the cafe. And George says, you know, he got caught gratifying himself. And he
sure did.
By his mother, no less. Mm-hmm. And so they're saying, well, you know, how long could you go? And Elaine's like, you know, well, you know, you can hold it, can't you? And Jerry says, quote, here we go. Jerry says, we have to do it. It's part of our lifestyle. It's like shaving. Elaine says, oh, that's such a baloney. I shave my legs. Kramer says, not every day. Right.
And a lot of that is in the delivery, but again, right. like you know, as soon as you see this exchange, you know, even though it doesn't say which episode this is from, and you remember, I mean, his mustard he put on that line, not every day.
Right.
Very good.
It, again, to me, just brilliant writing. And Seinfeld was one of those '90s, right? It was in the '90s, and I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, what group of writers, Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld, and all the other people as well that wrote in that show. Could make an entire 30-minute episode, 21 minutes or whatever, 20, whatever it is of actual show, all about self-gratification and how long you could go.
Yes, which never uses the word.
Right.
Never even uses any euphemisms for it, really. They just say, are you still, you know, lord of the manor? I'm queen of the county, etc. You know, that's how they indicate they are still in control of their urges.
And Kramer, at one point, Kramer looks out the window at some hot woman down in the street. He leaves over to his apartment for about 2 minutes and comes back with the money and slams it on Jerry's counter and says, I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic for a reason.
Right? All right, Tori Ariano, you take one here. What's next?
Well, after we talked about Sex and the City, I scrolled up to Golden Girls because that was, you know, yes. At the time that Sex and the City was on, there was a lot of like, this is just Golden Girls with younger women, which true.
Yes.
So we have Stan entering, morning ladies. Hey, the way you leave that back door open, any idiot could walk in here. And Sophia says, any idiot did.
Estelle Getty, right? Played Sophia.
Yep.
I mean,
that's right.
What an actress. Again, a lot of that writing is in the delivery of these people.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure.
I can't tell you how many times watching that show with my grandparents when it first came out. And then in college, I would watch Golden Girl reruns in college, and it just cracks me up.
Oh, and I watch it with my sisters a lot.
Really? Do you?
Yeah, we used to watch a lot of Golden Girls when we were all living at home.
It's still on every night. It's a great show to doze off to. It's on TV Land. Hallmark Channel every night.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, Rock Block alike, I think 6 episodes back to back to back. So if you still have cable, if you haven't cut the cord, it's there for you.
No, absolutely. Number 66, great show, Fran Drescher, The Nanny. Cece says, Maxwell, your bad relationship with your mother is your own fault. I find that I catch more flies with honey. Niles. I always thought your tongue darted out.
Yeah, that was a classic CC Niles. You know, they hate each other, and that's always a good dynamic for some wisecracks. There's a Benson gag on here that's a similar kind of thing with Benson and Krause.
We're talking to Tara Ariano as far as the funniest punchlines of all time in sitcoms here from Crack.com and the podcast Extra Hot Great. Talk about greats, the Mary Tyler Moore Show at number 63. Ted, the great Ted, referring to antacid pills, says, oh, they're not for my personal use. I never have stomach trouble myself. Murray, no, but you're a carrier, Ted. I know Gavin McLeod. It's all the delivery, but a great line. We'll come back on the other side. We are talking about the 100 funniest sitcom punchlines of all time with Tara Ariano of the Todd Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, one of the most iconic theme songs, in my opinion, on television history. For my money, I would certainly say one of the top 5 best sitcoms of all time, the theme from MASH, Suicide is Painless. We're talking to Tara Ariano. She is the co-host of the podcast Extra Hot Great, along with she works for Cracked.com, a great writer there as well. She has written a great article called The 100 Funniest Sitcom Punchlines Ever, and I'm going to talk about that in one of these from MASH in just a moment. But Tara, let's talk about the podcast for a moment. You have a couple of co-hosts with you. You're wonderful and talented partner there, David T. Cole, and also Sarah Debute. Jabunte is also a co-host there. Talk about the podcast, and I understand that you reviewed an episode of MASH recently.
I did. It's Sarah Debunting, for the record.
Oh, what did I say?
It's middle initial Debute, I think. It's okay.
I'm unmedicated today, and I apologize profusely to Sarah and to you.
No apology necessary. Yes, the episode that just went up today, our guest was Sarah Baker, wonderful sitcom actress. Actually, one of our listeners let us know that they were listening to the podcast and then paused it, put on the most recent episode of Night Court to get on the treadmill, and then said, lo and behold, there was Sarah Baker in the episode. She's a character actor you've seen many times. She's going to be on Curb Your Enthusiasm this season as well. She was in The Kominsky Method. She was in Go On with Matthew Perry, which she mentions in our podcast. But anyway, we have a segment of the podcast called The Canon, where we talk about the best episodes of television. And one of our listeners had submitted the season 3 MASH episode, Adam's Rib, which is all about the mess has been serving nothing but liver or fish for the past 11 days. Hawkeye goes crazy. he gets a very intense craving for ribs from a particular place in Chicago. And so the episode is about him figuring out how to get those ribs and sauce from Chicago yes. to Korea. And it was a great episode. Spoiler, we voted it in because we all really enjoyed it.
It was 13, right? 13 seasons of MASH?
I think that's right.
Yeah, and
I have all
13 seasons on DVD.
Yeah, I mean, it's streaming on Hulu for people that don't have the DVDs, but yes, it's always good to have a backup because you never know when something like that is going to get pulled. But
see,
yeah,
now this is my point. You know, I want to know from a professional like you, a professional in the television industry who writes about it, knows about it. Yeah. For old man Todd here, I'm a big fan of the DVDs because I always have them. And people, oh, geez, you're too old. You should. Yeah, I stream some stuff. But, I mean, mm-hmm. what's your take on this? I mean, is it just old man Todd here, or am I an idiot for having all these DVDs?
I don't think you're an idiot. I mean, there definitely have been DVDs I've gotten rid of and regretted it for sure. Mm-hmm. This just came up, in fact, in an editorial meeting at Cracked this morning where we were talking about Police Squad and saying there's it's not streaming anywhere legitimately. It's on Daily Motion. Someone put them up there. It's not our business who did it, but they are there. But yeah, if you don't, you know, if you don't want to patronize a site like that and you don't have the DVDs, you're kind of out of luck. So,
Mr. Zomers?
Yeah, a lot of the time, even if a show or a movie or something is on a streaming service, mm-hmm. sometimes they're all on different ones because now the rights are so complicated. It used to just be, do you have Netflix? Cool. Yeah. Now it's, if you want to watch the first movie in a series, it's on Peacock. If you want to watch the second one, it's on HBO Max. And so you have to have every subscription if you want to actually watch the whole show or series.
Yeah, how do they do that, Tara? Do they just divvy up the rights to different places?
I mean, that happens sometimes. Yeah. I mean, this was the thing with Suits this year where Netflix had most of it. It was the big sensation last summer that everyone was watching Suits. And they didn't actually have the entire run. If you wanted to watch every single episode of Suits for whatever reason, you would have to get Peacock. So, yeah. And especially when it's a situation where it's like, you know, they've done a TV adaptation of a movie. Sometimes, you know, you would assume, okay, well, any streaming platform that would do that would also have whatever movie it's based on. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. I mean, mm-hmm. Ted just got a series adaptation in January, and I think Peacock has either Ted or Ted 2. It was like one and not the other, and
it
I
has
can't remember
Ted 2.
Which. That's it. And Ted is on Max, so to your point, exactly.
That's just goofy. Someday somebody's going to come up with this great idea of having everything all together in one bundle. You pay one fee. Oh, cable!
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, we've gone off the rails here a bit, but that's fine. Again, the podcast is called Extra Hot Great, and people, I assume, can get it wherever they get their podcasts.
They sure can.
And so the latest episode is on this MASH episode, or?
The latest episode, that's a segment of it. Our main topic was, speaking of TV adaptations, we talked about Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the new show on Prime Video.
Oh, okay.
And in that case, Prime Video did get the movie as well.
How about that?
They figured it out over at Amazon, at least in this one instance. So that was our main topic. And then if you join us on Patreon, you can hear us on Friday talking about the premiere of Curb Your Enthusiasm, speaking of sitcoms.
And the final season, right? They've said, or at least that's what Larry David claims.
That's what they say. I mean, I think this time he means it, you know, as he has said in interviews, you know. Other times when he has said it, he was not 76, which he is now.
Right.
So I can understand that he sort of felt like I may have said everything I want to say with his show.
Tara Arellano wrote this great article on Cracked.com. It's called The 100 Funniest Sitcom Punchlines Ever. Number 60 from MASH has Hawkeye talking to his best buddy, at least in the start of the series, Trapper John M.D. Hawkeye says, played by the incomparable Alan Alda, says, let's make a pact about drinking. Trapper says, all right. Hawkeye says, let's never stop. And of course, it's all.
And they never did.
No, they never did. The still, right? But of course,
that
was the magical rapport with those guys. It was the speed and the timing that they delivered those lines to me mm-hmm. that really made that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Paparico on YouTube texting in and saying, did All in the Family make the list? I mean, that's one of my all-time, for my money, Tara, it probably ranks as the number one sitcom of all time, largely due to the writing.
Yep, All in the Family is on the list, up at the top, alphabetically. It's number 5.
I thought these were ranked, and it turns out they're just alphabetical. But All right, give us the number 5 there, Tara.
So Mike says, we're going to see something you know nothing about, culture. And Archie is looking at a book and says, oh, ho, look at this. No wonder he's getting himself so excited. It's one of his own here, a Pollock art exhibit. And Mike says, that's Pollock, Jackson Pollock.
That right there is a great example of what I'm talking about. That whole show largely was to point out and to laugh at Archie and make him the butt of the joke, the racist, the bigot, the misogynist. But some of the language was just, it made me laugh. There it is, the All the Family theme song. Tara Arellano of Crack.com. The podcast is extra hot. Great. Tara, you're always fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
Thank you for having me back.
My pleasure. Hour 2 is straight ahead. Or hour 3, pardon me.